Most scientists would tell you that race is a social construct with little or no biological meaning. But if it is, why is modern medicine still taking it into account? Patients often have to check a box that indicates their race when they see a doctor. People who defend that practice say it can give doctors important clues on their patients and play a role in diagnosis and treatment of at least certain conditions. Critics say it sometimes leads to mistakes, bad assumptions, and ultimately worse medical care. Lundy Braun is a professor of pathology and laboratory medicine and Africana studies at Brown University. She studies and has written on the history of medicine. Lundy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with the reasons for a doctor paying attention to their patient's race, looking for, I guess, certain conditions that might go along with a certain heritage. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that physicians look to race so immediately are actually due to the long history of racism in medicine. So medicine actually has been a site for the working out of racial hierarchies in the U.S., as historians of medicine have shown. So we're enmeshed in that that history, and it hasn't been ever been fully refuted, although it's been critiqued, of course. I think the, you know, another reason for, I think, perhaps a heightened attention to race in the clinic comes from the NIH, an NIH mandate in the 1990s to include race in clinical research. This had a laudable effect of documenting health disparities, and racial disparities in particular. But what it's also led to is a proliferation of documentation without adequate explanation that then kind of morphed into genetic studies to explain racial difference. So I think, you know, how we got here is a complicated socio-historical phenomenon. I think many physicians are well-intentioned and have been taught, actually, that this will help clinical practice. So on the other hand, most physicians, there's been, you know, a fair number of studies showing that most physicians actually do think race is a biological construct. So some of the division I think it's much more complicated, but some of the division is among social scientists as opposed to biological scientists and physicians in terms of what actually is race.
I want to get into a couple of particular diagnoses, conditions that enter into this question and that are more complicated than I thought reading up on this. Sickle cell anemia, usually associated, it's a genetically caused condition, usually associated with people from Africa, here in the United States with African Americans, to where a doctor, if they're dealing with a black patient, might think sickle cell is a possibility. A white patient think it's not at all a possibility. Turns out that's wrong both ways.
Right, and I just have to mention the work of Keith Wailu, who studied sickle cell anemia, and particularly the historical moment in which it was identified in the U.S. So it is true that at that moment, it was, I think it was 1910, and then it became a black disease in the popular and scientific imagination. What's quite interesting is that actually the sickle cell is the mutations in the beta hemoglobin gene are distributed much more widely than in Africa, and in many parts of Africa, sickle cell is not present. So, for example, South Africa has a very low prevalence of sickle cell. India has certain areas in India have a high prevalence. Greece has a high prevalence. So, it does have a higher prevalence in African Americans in the U.S. But it's not a black disease in any way, shape, or form. And it's, I think many states now do newborn screening for sickle cell in general because of all the cases that could be mixed. Yet it's had a tremendous stigmatizing effect on African Americans.
Talking to Lundy Braun, Lundy Braun from Brown University about the use of race in medical diagnosis. Another condition that you mentioned health disparities earlier is more prevalent among African Americans: hypertension, high blood pressure. But does that mean it's a genetic thing? Is this a racial or heritage-based thing, or does it have a social cause? Can you talk about that issue?
Yeah, so that's a really important question because hypertension is so widespread in the U.S. population, regardless of race. But it is of the prevalence of hypertension, and importantly, the severity of hypertension in the U.S. is more common among African Americans. Yet, Richard Cooper did a very nice international study, I think in 2005, if I'm correct. And what he showed is that actually Germany and Finland had the highest rates of hypertension in the world. And with U.S. blacks, you know, sort of intermediate, still higher than U.S. whites, but Nigerians had the lowest rates of hypertension. And even further, if you look among people of African descent from various Caribbean islands, the variability is quite prominent, but it's lower than U.S. whites. So this kind of data should actually have triggered discussions more so than it has about social and environmental causes of hypertension. There's been nice work in the past. Nancy Krieger's one author who looked at the experience of racism and hypertension. And actually, it makes biological sense. But nonetheless, the idea of racial differences in hypertension being due to genetic difference is deeply entrenched in medicine and quite hard to dislodge at the moment. In fact, you have guidelines for treatment that categorize people into black and non-black and then call for different treatments for blacks than for so-called non-blacks, you know, which is just sort of everybody else in a mishmash.
Right. As we get toward the end of the conversation, I want to get into that kind of fundamental issue. There are genetic predispositions for disease. They are distributed in different ways around the world and in different communities. They don't match up, it sounds like, with the really simple categories we have for race: black, Asian, white, however we want to slice it up. Those categories that we use on a daily basis tell us very little about one individual compared to another.
Yeah, so, and this is key in the clinical context. So there's no question that there's tremendous human genetic variability across the world. What has not been fully engaged with is do racial categories capture that genetic variability? Can you demarcate genetic variability into these racial categories? Personally, I think the evidence is quite strong that you can't. And so then in the clinic, when you're faced with a patient and a patient walks in and you might make what we called in a paper a rapid racial assessment, you could be wrong. Your assessment might not and oftentimes won't match with an individual's self-identification. So I think the clinic is a context in which we have to think about the individual, ask questions about the individual to guide practice. That's different from using race. And so I think one point I want to make is I'm not making an argument for actually getting rid of race in all aspects of biomedicine and public health. We need race and to capture the experience of racism and to monitor health disparities. We also can use social definitions of race for research to understand how does racism actually affect health. Where the problem comes is when we use social definitions of race to study genetic differences.
And briefly, Lundy, for a doctor in a clinic, how do they avoid these pitfalls?
I think good histories is, and I've asked a lot of physicians about how can you not just act on this rapid racial assessment. And many are trying to do that by taking better histories, by talking to patients about what kinds of treatments they would prefer. And questioning of the guidelines and then thinking about the complexity of individual patients. This is not, in general, what's taught in medical school, although there are attempts at many medical schools to try to teach more nuanced ways of thinking about race. But to actually dislodge those social assumptions is going to take real work and real acknowledgement that we're making mistakes, we're misdiagnosing, and that we're actually contributing to a dialogue about difference.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Lundy Braun from Brown University.